So guys, sitting in front of a RPEQ fire engineer today who had a significant number of years at service, which is always great, he said a couple of things that really quite concerning. One of the things he said was that the side effect of looking at all of this cladding, people have only just started to understand that the glass that is on the outside of a building, so you know how it's very popular to have all glass walls so that you have beautiful views out in the city that you live in, that glass will not stand up to the tests which we now expect the cladding to stand up to. So that glass shatters, falls onto the ground, has the potential to take out many people along the way, and leaves a significant amount of debris that makes it difficult for people to properly evacuate a building when it's on fire. Makes it difficult as well for professionals, fire service, to get in order to rescue people. But how many buildings around have glass on the outside of them? And what are we doing about those glass buildings? We're not doing anything. He said that traditionally he had expected that when a building was built, given his years of experience, this particular type, the composite panelling, would be on the outside of a wall that was the skin, effectively, of the building, if you will. What he has discovered, however, is that sometimes the cladding itself is the outside wall of the building. So to put it another way, imagine you are there, you're on a forklift, you're 8 stories up, and you've peeled back some of this cladding. You'll then come across the yellow spongy material that is insulation. If you pull that aside, you will then be presented with basically the paper wall of gyprock. And if you punch your finger through that, you'll make a hole big enough that you will be able to see into someone's living room. That's very concerning. So they're going to potentially peel off this panelling, the bad panelling, in order to replace it. And then people are going to be up for the costs of putting on walls that potentially should have been there from the start. And this is the problem. Council has plans that they issue for builders, developers to follow as part of a building coming to life. Whether or not that actually takes place is somewhere between what the certifier certifies, and there's many stories of work being done to a particular building and basically the site being set up for a certifier to come along and tick it off, and then things being undone so that the real work can be done now that they've got the certification ticked. It's very worrying. He also said that things that we previously have given a free pass to in the building industry, there's now a collective scratching of heads and, well, hold on, hang about, let's think about this. So carpet, is carpet flammable? Yeah, in certain circumstances it is. What have we really done to require that only fire retardant carpet goes into buildings? What about paint? Paint on walls, how many layers of paint? Is paint flammable? What are we doing? If we're building these buildings that have this terrible cladding on the outside, it seems a bit silly to rectify all of that cladding but then leave perfectly flammable painted walls inside. And of course, gyprock. Gyprock is covered in paper. Paper is flammable. These are all very concerning things. So how do we deal with that? You can't sort of deal with one and not the other. So it is many thousands of tins of worms on top of each other currently. One of the things that he said as well was that the QBCC have made noises that they are keen to make examples of people that have done the wrong thing. I think that's heartening. My concern, however, is that oftentimes when it comes around to developers, builders being sued in order to recoup money, either the company no longer exists or at very best it's a $2 shelf company. And of course, as we know, you'll pay $60,000 in litigation, get all the way to the end, only to receive potentially $2 if you are successful winding up that company. Another way of saying it is we call it a Pyrrhic victory. So not very cost effective. I would love to have good news here, but I really don't. It is likely that, at first instance, bodies corporate are going to be called upon to rectify this issue. No body corporate that's got flammable cladding on the outside of it can afford to wait around through 6 years of litigation in order to see if maybe it'll get rectified, they'll get some money in order to do the work. People need to live somewhere that's safe. So I can see special levies, I can see more strata loans. That's what I can see so far. So it's very concerning. I have one building so far that have had a very significant increase in their insurance premium because the owners don't know, because they're not RPEQ fire engineers, of which apparently there's only 90 in Queensland, did you know? They don't know about the cladding on the outside of their building. They don't know if it's the good cladding or the bad cladding. As a result, yeah, hefty hike in insurance. One of my jobs is to find a way that we can get a report done that will deal with that insurance, that we can present it to the insurance provider and hopefully get a reduction in premium. So that's going to be one of my jobs tomorrow. I'll keep you posted, guys, and at least maybe some of you can learn from me. We'll go through this together. Have a lovely night.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.